Do we all feel like we got adequate time? Is it coming through? Lovely. Do we all feel like we got adequate time to discuss the faith talk questions? Yeah.
Help us to walk
away. How about
away
the last one? That seems like a hard one.
And thankfully,
I actually
the
didn't
old
write these. Pastor Michael did. So.
We thank you for its joy and achievements, and all the days of growth and love.
Yeah, that third question is definitely a hard one. It's one we all have to ask at some point. Well, I definitely know I have to. But yeah, how was your Christmas? Good? Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't too bad. I mean, was it busy? Was it quiet? Busy? Full of joy?
We also thank you for strength given amid suffering and pain. And
did you feel close to people
arising out of fear?
Was there any mixed heartbreak of not having loved ones around for the first Christmas? Yeah. Was there also joy for some of you that you had a grandchild or a child there for the first Christmas as well? Yes. Which is wonderful. It really is.
Lord, forgive us for our sins, for who we are,
maybe
for the hurt we caused, for the wrong we could have avoided, for our failure to live as your people,
I'm not talking from experience,
for our pride,
I might leave that thought
our
there
lack of trust in you.
I mean,
our
for me,
failure
Christmas
to love others
a tad
as you have
there's
demonstrated
lots of loved ones,
to us.
But there's always a bit of a
forgive
reminder
us
of just how
and let your light
less than ideal
shine
my
again
family situation
in
is
our lives.
But yeah, I mean, my hope genuinely is that you found a lot of joy and a lot of peace and goodness in the Christmas period. But I know that however well-meaning that wish may be, life often makes us a touch more complicated than that. So how was your year? How was 2019?
Lord, help us to see this moment of New Year as
good
you see it.
Help I
us
hear
to walk quietly
thumbs up,
and
thumbs
firmly
down,
towards
couple
its
of
opportunities
yeah
and demands.
Not good.
Full faith in you.
Okay, Gary.
You are steadfast.
Gary, I'm going to ask you to go
true
and have a chat to one of the CMT members after the service. Yeah, it's often like that. I know I work in the pharmacy, I get to see all of this. I mean, like, my expectation is that the year would have been a complex mix of
the new
ups
year
and downs
that we begin today. Is a
of
new
joys
year,
and sorrows,
and not a repeat of the
I
old.
I know that in this congregation,
give
we've
us
seen
the strength,
you know,
Lord Jesus, to walk
birth
with you. Let your grace give us courage, your peace give us hope, your joy inspire us,
and then the mix of
your hope
both,
sustain
for
us,
the mother, the pain
and
of
your love
and then the
surround
joy
us
of
with
having
new
given
life
birth, and for
amen
us who know our Christian brothers and sisters who have died, tears, and then joy to know that they've gone home to glory and to peace.
We were lost in the night, dead in our sin.
But yeah,
asleep in our own darkness.
So
but the Saviour, born in a manger, has changed everything.
And honestly, I feel like this
his
is a
love
very human
brings
expectation
life
of what the next
and light
year will bring.
His life, death, and resurrection
so we know,
forgives
as
sin,
Marlene said,
gives
as
a new start,
said, that we have
and
these
secures our salvation
our
forever. To
and
those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become the children of
but
God.
Praise be to God for his unwavering love and kindness.
Or given them
us
his Holy Spirit.
And his constant support in ever
those who believe and are baptized will be saved.
And we thank God
grant
that
this
he
Lord
alone
to us all
is our refuge.
Amen.
And he alone is our peace.
God's peace is yours.
He did not leave us stranded.
While we reflect on the goodness of Jesus in this past year and the year to come,
but instead he entered into our
little song.
You can
listen quietly or sing along.
And in complete solidarity walked beside us. And he did so to lead us back into right relationship with what is the only constant source of joy and comfort, which is himself. This wonderful mystery of this beautiful solidarity with Jesus is our only constant amidst the goods and bads that next year will certainly bring. So in the reading we heard today from the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, from the 10th to the 18th verses, we do hear this incredible mystery relayed to us. We see this description of why God would come clothed in flesh. I really do believe that understanding and contemplating this mystery, this gospel, really does give us the best way to approach the new year. And I do find that we will find ourselves praising and trusting in Jesus for his goodness. So if you want to grab your Bible in front of you, if that's something you like to do. If not, you can have a listen. So from the 10th verses, from verse 10, I'm just going to spend a bit of time just unpacking and reflecting on what we read in Hebrews. And forgive me if I get anything wrong or you disagree. Hebrews really is a notoriously hard book to unpack. And it's as dense as any book we see, with just how much wonderful writing is in it. So in verse 10, we read a verse which expresses the very same sentiments which St. John does in the first chapter of his Gospel on the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. We read this lovely phrase, this phrase that describes God who made the whole creation, for whom the whole creation exists, and through whom creation itself is sustained and draws its life continuously. And this God saw it fitting to make himself lowly like us. And furthermore, we read that God the Son, he endured suffering, he endured humiliation and torture willingly in order to bring many sons and daughters to glory. I really think we need to contemplate this in every day. Let it fill you with wonder and awe. I mean, what kind of God abandons his glory? What kind of God sleeps like a creature beneath the stars he'd breathed into existence? And what kind of God submits himself to be crucified on a tree he carved out with his own hands in order that he might taste death for all of us and all of creation? And we also read that in Christ's life, he is the pioneer, the captain, depending on the translation. I'm not sure which one your version of the NIV has. I think Michael once said that the computer is different from what we have as the church Bible, so I'm not sure. But that Christ is our captain and our pioneer. Yeah, he leads us to our salvation, going first before us to light our path, and then thankfully to help us get there himself. We'll come back on that point just in a moment. In verse 11, we read that Christ is the one who is making us holy, and we who are being made holy are one in his body. That Christians are unified in this wonderful body of Christ. And more wonderfully still, we're unified with God in this body. We read that beautifully while we are still sinners. Christ is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And that God is still willing to become one with us to draw us close to him. In verses 14 and 15, we read that Christ had fellowship with us by taking into himself our very own flesh and blood, our very own bone, our sinew, even our human nature. And by doing so, through his death and resurrection, he broke the power of the devil, being death, and set us free from our bondage, which was slavery to sin. This meeting of God and man is our hope of right relationship with God. And in 17 and 18, we read that Christ was made like us in all respects, his brothers and sisters, so that he might show us the way to his Father, and through his work, now our Father, in such a way that we can now call out Abba Father and have an intimate relationship with our God. Our Saviour can also help us in our pain, in our suffering, and in our temptation, because he himself suffered and he himself was tempted. And it's here that we find common ground with God, in that very same wonderful body of Christ. The progressing narrative of this passage as a whole is one in which God comes to us, embraces our hell-bound humanity. He met us in our goodness and in our brokenness, in our joys and triumphs, and in our sufferings and many, many failings. He knows our need, as we get to sing in Christmas. He came to us because our need was to find ourselves in him alone, fulfilled and whole in the arms of the only one who knows what will fulfill us, our very own Creator. God has been so good to us, and we see that in this proclamation of the gospel, of what it means for Christ to come to us in flesh. We need to remember this transforming knowledge that we received when we received our faith, and the hope that it gives us, especially when it comes to the new year. So as we are approaching the new year, a worldly phrase springs up to meet us, our New Year's resolutions. We hear of things being added to, or hopefully ticked off a bucket list, as we read up on the screen. And we resolve to make ourselves better, to see or do more, to experience new things, or possibly to ignite old passions. Or maybe even, for some of us older ones, to find an old thrill from our more youthful years. I mean, these things don't sound bad, and I really don't think they are. But are you like me? After reading about the wondrous and splendorous and majestic love of our Heavenly King and his great graces and indeterminable kindnesses to us, do these things just seem smaller now, less important? We know that he calls us to follow him, and in the same way, we need to know that we have to relinquish some of these things if they're not in keeping with God's will. I ask this as well, though. Are these worldly paradigms and expectations realistic? Are they grounded in what our past year has taught us with all its ups and downs? And where do they include Jesus Christ, who should be our all in all? As I said, these expectations and resolutions, if they're not framed in terms of Christ, make us focus inwards and not outwards, on ourselves, not on Jesus. And also, sadly, they are bound to disappoint us. I know this myself, having made quite a few New Year's resolutions in my teenage years, and I don't think any of them ever came true. So I really do find it important to question honestly whether we're buying into this worldly paradigm. We know that we live in a broken world, that God is not abandoned, which is why we know both godly and wonderful things, but also suffer through the results of sin, both ours and our own making, and also Adam's in creation. You know, we are on this roller coaster of life through its ups and downs. We know that at its height, we may know exuberant joy and feel weightless as if flying. And at our lowest, we might feel to be crashing back towards a cold and lonely ground. I think it's only natural as humans that we don't know the future, or that not knowing the future, that we look forward to the good times and the feelings they bring. I feel that it's only natural. It gives us something to hope for, something to keep us moving forward. Without such hopes, we would find ourselves in more despair and hopelessness than we could ever imagine. And it is also in this new year, as we approach it, that we are forced to confront the reality of our future and all of its unknown possibilities. And so I think that it is incredibly understandable that we try to find hope and dreams to make our journey forward through time worth living and to keep us going forward. But despite these hopes, unless we stick our heads in the ground, we all know that this coming year will repeat our ups and downs. And I think this really ought to lead us to conclude that we should be careful about buying into a paradigm that places hope in the goodness of things that will fade and that will come to nothing. We should instead exchange this hope for one that's placed in God and his goodness. And just to clarify, I'm not saying that these good things are bad. They're not. All good things are wonderful gifts from God. And it's right that we as his creatures enjoy his good creation. But like so many good things, the way that we use them dictates whether or not they remain good things or whether or not they do bad to us. So something to think about and something to be careful with. Yeah, there is one theme that I think all of us will identify with as Christians. If we examine our past year, we know with confidence that Jesus has not once abandoned us, in the goods and in the bads. He has not once withdrawn his good graces. Not once stopped loving us, not once failed to walk beside us, and even when we had not the strength to stand, to carry us. So as we enter into this new year, this precipice where the unknown and our expectations meet, We know that as we read in Hebrews today, Christ, the pioneer of our salvation, has already gone before us, and he's already shown us the way. He gave us an example to live by faith and hope in his heavenly Father's unchanging goodness. And he did so through ups and downs of his life. He showed us what it meant to live a perfectly human life, which was to trust his Father completely and to walk in accordance with the promptings of the Holy Spirit inside him. I want to close today reflecting on verses 29 to 32 of the Gospel reading today. Genuinely, I would feel remiss if I did not at least once touch base on the Gospel reading. So I'll just read it out to you. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory to your people Israel." Some of these characters in the gospel we can learn so much from, whether it be in the centurion's response to Christ and the faith he displays, whether we can learn from the mistakes of the apostles in their early days and from their triumphs. But here I really do pray that we long, like Simeon, to see the salvation of the Lord, which is God incarnate in Christ Jesus. I pray that we rejoice like he did, singing with all joy, with all praises. I also pray that we could be more like Anna, that in the instant her eyes meeting the Lord, she rejoiced and she gave thanksgiving. I pray that like them, we could be steadfast in our patience, that we might wait upon the Lord and could be led where his Spirit would guide us. And like these two, amidst their distress at the lowly state of their beloved Israel, having been subjugated by a brutal Rome, that we, like them, might place our hope in God and his promises in the midst of pain. We know that this year will have good and it will have bad. And genuinely, there is nothing we can do about that until Christ comes again. That's something that we need to accept. But have hope. Genuinely have hope. For in this year, we will have Christ, who is unwavering in his love for us, who knows us and will walk with us in this very same wonderful solidarity. Having taken perfect humanity into himself, he knows us. He knows our pain. He knows our trial. He knows our temptation. As we read later in Hebrews 4, that we're encouraged because of his work and because of his priesthood that we can go before the throne of glory, the seat of grace and mercy, in all confidence, knowing that Christ is mediating God to us. And he encourages us to go like children before a wonderful throne where we can find help in our times of need. He will be with us in good and bad, in hardship and joy. So trust in Christ, that while we might not be spared hardships, even as he was not spared hardship, that he will certainly hold our hands and even carry us in our sickness and in our health, when we are doing better or when we are doing worse, and for as long as we shall live, and then for eternity more. So I want to spend the next couple of minutes just allowing time for each of us to both reflect on how good Jesus has been to us throughout this year, to think honestly and earnestly about the ups and downs of the year and remember Christ in each of those situations, to consider how much he loves us, and then also to consider and to continue considering throughout this new year how best we can serve him humbly and faithfully. Does it not seem fitting and right to simply ask, "Good Jesus, lover of my soul, here is your servant and child. What would you have me do?" I'll give you a moment. And then Ben will come and take us through the confession that Pastor Michael left for us.